Manx Radio's 2016 election coverage.
A very good evening to you. Monday, July the 11th, you're listening to Manx Radio. We're continuing our election coverage, and this evening we speak to a sitting member, a member for just over 3 years, who'll be seeking re-election when the Isle of Man goes to the polls in September. He is 53 and married to Tanya with 3 children. Good evening, West Douglas MHK, Chris Thomas.
Good evening, James.
Now, you are West Douglas MHK now, of course, but that constituency is to change in, well, a little over 9-10 weeks from now and will become Central Douglas. How potentially will that affect your campaign?
It won't affect my campaign because I'm a national politician who does what's right and what's best, in my judgment, for the people I represent. And that's always been the constituents.
You may be a national politician, but we all know a lot of members get elected on what's happening on their doorstep.
OK, well, Tynwald, unfortunately, I will no longer have the privilege to represent them directly. Sorry, Tramode, but again, Tynwald from East Douglas and where we're sitting now and where I live, going along the old Castletown Road and up Douglas Head, joins the constituency from Douglas South. And I'm looking forward to campaigning with the new people on the electoral register and those who've not yet joined the electoral register and those who've already been there in the last 3 years.
You pushed for a change to constituency boundaries. Why?
No, I didn't actually. I got in just as the report was going through. And the reason
You supported it, though?
Very much I supported it, because it's only right that each member of the public has the same number of votes and the same number of representatives. And that's what we've got now. Well, the people around the island will have a better idea of what policies have been supported, and people in Tynwald, when they get elected as Keys members, will actually have a better idea of what the national consensus is about what the issues are, and I hope what needs to be done to address those issues.
We cannot look back and stare is something I saw highlighted in your manifesto in 2013. It's a phrase I saw used fairly recently on social media. Recently, though, with respect, you've done quite a lot of looking back and staring when it's been not needed. You seem obsessed with this parliamentary reform. So will you stop that now? Lord Lisvain has spoken.
Not at all. Lord Lisvain has come back with an excellent report. For the last 12 months or so, people have kept saying to me, let's wait until the Lord Lisvain report is produced. I'll be saying now, for coming years, let's look back and see what Lord Lisvain said when he made this comprehensive holistic analysis. It's not the most important issue. Governance isn't the most important issue, but we need a good governance system to make sure we have the best out of the resources that we can provide for health.
Fascinating conclusions and recommendations, but the public aren't bombarding you with this, let's be honest, are they?
It's not going to be my most important issue, but I've fulfilled the Chief Minister's promise for him. He did say back in 2011 that we needed an independent inquiry to finally put to bed the debate that had been going on throughout his political career. He didn't actually get one set up himself. I moved the motion, it was set up. There might be things different about the Manx political system. It might be that government and parliament are one in the Isle of Man. It could be that we actually are happy having unelected members making decisions about finance and appointing the Chief Minister. It's now for us to decide in Parliament as the representatives of the population in the next administration. It's not something that I'm going to obsess about, the cost of living.
You have obsessed with it.
I haven't obsessed about anything, James. I've just put in place now informed opinion such that decisions can be made in the next administration.
Is Lord Lisvain right that the majority appear more comfortable with a gradual and incremental approach?
Very much so. And he spotted that we can carry on with the status quo if that's what suits us. He agrees with me, with my conclusions after 3 years of observing it, that we can never actually have a directly elected legislative council. So therefore, there are two alternatives. One is to have a single chamber with legislative committees, with the legislative council members becoming probably the most important people in government because they've got a larger mandate. Or, if you prefer the bicameral system of Legislative Council and House of Keys, he suggested we need to constrain the unelected members who make the Legislative Council. And I'm happy with that. Let's see what people want. But let's move on, because much more important are the cost of living, economic growth, making sure that economic growth filters down to everybody, balancing public finances, health, education. They're the issues that really matter.
Well, just before we do move on, I mean, you've spent a lot of time and devoted a lot of time to this in Tynwald over the last few months. So this review stemmed from your motion. And one of the recommendations is that MHKs are removed from government by abolishing the departmental member system in its current form. The number of political members will be limited to one per department. How would the workload be met then?
Well, no, that's a very good idea. In fact, I've got to confess, I agree with pretty much all of the recommendations of Lord Lisvain, and they're very similar in large part to what I proposed as alternatives in some cases. But they are, I'm pleased, and I will work towards presenting them adequately so people can make up their mind. But departmental members, I've achieved just as much in departments through contributing to the transformation of public policy in departments where I'm not a departmental member as where I am a departmental member. Being a departmental member is about helping the minister and others around him put together better public policy. You can also do that from the backbenches. What we currently have in the Isle of Man is the view that every politician should be involved in managing the operations of politics. I don't think that's right. I think we should limit politicians to making public policy and overseeing the implementation by officers. And that's you've picked a very important issue about the role of departmental members.
Staffing levels have been reduced in the last few years. Have we still got a bloated civil service then?
We've got areas where we can work more intelligently. So we have little government for a big island rather than big government for a little-ish island. So, for instance, I've worked really hard in the local government area to try and make the most of the scope and structure of local government and national government to consolidate synergies wherever they can be found. In housing, we're beginning to think about transferring the management of our houses outside. That's one example for you. Public transport, heritage transport, these are all areas where I've contributed to setting up systems whereby government, national government, can pull back and other people can become involved in delivering services. And that's what we've got to be doing. We've got to be thinking smart to actually put in place better public policy delivered more effectively, more efficiently.
Just want to ask you one more thing on this issue. Is a public representative really qualified to run a government department?
And that's something that I put in my manifesto in 2013, and it's very important for me. No, that's not the job of a politician. The job of a politician is to exercise judgment, making public policy decisions, and to oversee the implementation of public policy. Perhaps I'm wrong. Perhaps the Manx public expect their politicians to go in there and manage decisions, but we'll see now, because Lord Lisvain's commented on that in his report as well.
Well, putting the inquiry to one side, are our politicians local representatives playing at national politics, or are they national politicians? And if so, how do we attract better quality candidates?
I think we are attracting better quality candidates. It's got candidates this election, and probably there were many, many good candidates in the past, but you asked about this election. And the reason for that is there is a focus on politics at the moment. We our consensus that we're very proud of, and it's lucky that we have it, privileged to have it, is a bit fragile. Our public finances are also a bit fragile. Our economic growth is a bit fragile. So therefore, I think people will step up to the mark, be good candidates, and work together to put in place a national programme for government 2017 to 2021, which will tackle the serious issues that are troubling people at the minute.
Well, what do you think are the main political and social issues that face the island over the next 5 years?
Well, post-Brexit and post-new tax agenda, base erosion, profit shifting, OECD agenda. We've moved beyond just being transparent. Now we actually have to look at how companies particularly are distributing their sales and turnover and profits around the world. Both those two international developments are putting pressure on our traditional business models. So that's one issue that local national politicians have got to address. Another one is we've had 30 years plus, in fact, of growth. But that growth in the last 5 or 6 years hasn't been filtering down enough. The cost of living.
It's going to end, that growth, isn't it, soon?
And if we have lower growth than we've had in the past, it wouldn't matter so much as long as the amount of growth going to people held up. That's the absolutely crucial thing. So we've got to make sure
growth's going to stop, though, isn't it, shortly?
A lot of our growth in the last 5 or 6 years has been going to corporates, and that's very valuable because it allows for investment and it allows for some taxes to be paid. But we basically have a system where people pay taxes and people contribute to public revenues in the Isle of Man. So what really matters for us is that people have enough money in their pockets to have good lives and also to contribute to public provision sufficiently. And that's what we've really got to focus on. It won't actually matter if growth is not at 7 or 8%. If real incomes of pensioners, of workers, of young people as well as older people, are all maintained sufficiently, and that and I think we can contribute to that by looking at the cost of living as well. And that's been an important part of my activity over the last 3 years, looking at the ways that we can actually tackle prices.
Is that an admission then that morale in teaching, in health, in other frontline public services needs rebuilding?
Very, very, very much so.
How can you help do that?
By making sure that we have the right housing market that people see when they're about to enter profession, so they stay on the island if they're already here and don't emigrate, or they come to the island to address shortages. By making sure that the income expenditure balance that real people see is healthy. By making sure that there's enough things for people to do. In other words, in the last 5 years, people haven't actually been coming to the island like they were previously, and there must be an explanation for that. And the explanation, to my mind, has to be that the opportunities here, in terms of the amount of money that could be made and the quality of life that could be had, wasn't sufficient. So we've got to make sure that politicians are really focusing on the infrastructure, the cost of living, and the way that the economic growth filters down, such that we attract people to stay here, make sure people stay here, and also bring people here where we need them.
Well, I know the island's diversified successfully over a number of years now, but are we still over-dependent on the financial sector?
The financial sector is vitally important.
Are we over-dependent on it?
And we need to constantly be thinking about new sectors to localise. So in the last 5 years, one of our successes has been thinking about localising food and restaurants, and had some success in that. Also leisure. I think the situation now compared to 5 years ago is people can do a lot more and spend a lot more and have more fun spending that money locally than they could, but we still have a long way to go. But now we've got to think about which sectors we can actually further localise. And I've been producing information along with the economists in government working. They've been the ones doing all the legwork and the calculations. I've been asking questions to bring that information out. And there are several sectors, for instance, health, for instance, social care, for instance, education even, where we need to further localise to take away some of the locums and the supply teachers from across and actually create opportunities for local people to have good careers in it.
So that's how you'd further diversify the economy. Is it all a bit blurred now after this EU referendum?
The EU referendum is something that we've got to make sure that people really understand in the Isle of Man, because at the minute it's a bit too me too in our politics. That's why I said the right things in the debate a couple of weeks ago, but it was interpreted wrongly. Officers have been doing a good job to present the situation as they see it. Politicians are trying their best to actually go away and negotiate it. But I think people on the Isle of Man don't quite realise enough that what we're actually trying to negotiate for at the minute is what we had last year. In other words, as I understand it, the current government negotiating objective is to have the same relationship with the UK as we've got last year, and the same relationship with the EU as we had last year, despite the Brexit vote. Brexit is very important. We've got to understand what it means, but we've also got to understand and work out what our interests are and do everything we can, even though we're a small island, to try and secure those interests.
So just let me go back to one point. Are we or are we not over-dependent on the financial sector?
The financial sector is contracting, so therefore necessarily we've got to bring in new sources of income for people. Otherwise our island won't be as attractive a place as it is to live.
The current government, I suppose it's easy to criticise, but given the challenges it's faced, does it deserve any credit?
Of course it deserves some credit. So we've made lots of good progress, finally getting government to step up to the mark with disability discrimination. The Equality Bill has gone through the Legislative Council, so it'll be an early bill. Criminal justice, the way we generally go about providing emergency services, we made good progress. Housing, I think the plan that was put in place in November 2013 will begin to see results in terms of making affordable housing more widely available in coming years. Government.
You've talked about a Tinwell Commissioner for Administration.
Oh, OK.
How would that help?
Well, again, Lord Lisvain agreed this point, and he also agreed the need to have an Auditor General. So in essence, the Tinwell Commissioner for Administration is about a complaints process for public bodies. And the way it would help is if people have got a genuine complaint, that should be listened to and learnt, and the lessons learned, and we should have a better delivery of public service thereafter. An Auditor General would help, because an Auditor General would be independently evaluating the use of public money, and if it finds ways that we could go about procurement, contracting, delivery better, that should be helpful to executive government. So I'm fully supportive of both those ideas.
Would that help? I mean, how would you help stimulate greater public engagement in politics in the island?
I'm a conservative when it comes to direct democracy. When I was 21, I was a passionate believer in direct democracy, but so were the Athenians 2,000 years ago. And people are not actually as interested in politics as you imagine they are, because you're interested in politics at a certain stage in your life. So it's vital to engage with people. It's vital to listen to people. It's vital to learn from people. It's vital to set up structures whereby interest groups can actually contribute into public policy development. But at the end of the day, we have a representative democracy. Tynwald, House of Keys, are where decisions are made about the use of public funds, the raising of public funds, the types of policies we're pursuing, and that's the political culture in which we live.
Well, let's talk about some of the schemes that involved or would have involved public money, and I refer back to that "we cannot look back and stare" comment, because you've done quite a bit of that, Mr. Thomas. The Douglas £13 million Cambrian Place development scheme was that close to getting the go-ahead. There's nothing in its place, just a mess. What's the vision here? You spoke of about a vision, 2020 vision, yet you oppose this, both as a councillor and then an MHK, and the site is bare.
No, it's a tragedy that the site is bare, and we have to understand
why. But that's partly down to you, isn't it?
Not at all. It was the scheme was knocked on the head by Mr. Tier and the Treasury Department, who refused to sanction the borrowing and the land purchase by the local authority.
It's hardly big picture thinking, though, for our town, isn't it?
Exactly. So what I have.
So why did you oppose it?
I opposed it because I was correct to oppose it, because it wasn't the right thing for ratepayers' money to be used on at that time, and it was right and it wasn't as good as it could be and it can be. So for the last 3 years, I've been actively involved working with Douglas Council, working with government now and infrastructure department to consider how government and local authorities work together to provide car parks, cinemas, hotels on those sorts of sites. And I'm very confident that in 2017 onwards, you will actually see big delivery. What went wrong with the Lord Street Parade Street development is pretty technical, but I don't think it's a deal buster. Essentially, I don't think government was confident enough and the system wasn't put in place properly to actually realise the investors' ambitions for those sites. And I do think that we will have car parks. We've already got the better library. And
we could say that about everything, couldn't we? The Lord Street Hotel plan, that collapsed. The Summerland site is empty. And a lot of that is down to government not agreeing terms.
Yeah, it's down to... It's
Where's
down...
the vision?
Well, it's not vision you want, James. You keep using that word, but it's not a word I like.
Used it quite heavily in your manifesto,
knowing what the Isle of Man should be like in 2020 is easy. It's actually getting you there that's the hard bit.
So how do you, as a member of the House of Keys, our elected parliament, exploit the opportunities of the town centre, the Market Hall, Villiers Square, Castlemona, Summerland, just to Lower Douglas, just to name a few.
I'll give you three or four ways that I've contributed to making the solution easier in the future. The first one is we have at the minute an incredible financial opportunity, given that interest rates are so low, because government can borrow money for a long time with bonds to finance revenue generating capital schemes. And I've been pushing for that. This is not budget deficit financing. This is long term revenue generating schemes that are capital assets. That's one thing. Secondly, planning. I've spent a lot of time working on making planning more responsive and working with developers to amend and develop planning policies such that visions can be realised. Thirdly, we are going to have to look for government to working better with the private sector and with local authorities, and behind the scenes you will find that I think I've played quite an important role with my budget speeches. When people go back and look at them, that I've been sketching new ways whereby we can not reinvent the wheel, we can just
work. What tangible efforts are there, though? Tangible that you can see? Well, actual improvements.
No, you're right. It's disappointing that Lord Street and Parade Street and Villiers Square and the Summerland site are not yet developed. But we're in a much better place now. We've had to think smarter, and I think you will find...
It doesn't look smarter.
I think you will find that the Parade Street, Lord Street has been re-tendered, and I think you will find similar people will bid again, and I think some of the issues that were there first time will have been solved. And I think you make a very good point, but if you look out of your window now, it looks much better down there on Douglas Head. Douglas Council's done a great job on managing that open space.
Yes, the council, just like Cambrian Place was the council scheme.
And the council should be fully responsible for open spaces and car parking in Douglas, and that's something that I've been working to achieve behind the scenes. So I'm on the what's called the Access and Car Park Working Group.
Catchy title.
Yeah, and that's Douglas Council's car title, A Share It, and those sorts of issues are important, as are roads and pavements, and we really are working better together now after 2 or 3 years led by Minister Gorn in the local government unit.
Well, you speak of refocusing and prioritisation. Let me talk to you about something else you opposed, and this was Pinewood. I remember you said that the reserves transferred to Pinewood a few years back, could have been used to repay the MEA debt of the day. Are you happier with Pinewood now? Now that there's some money coming back?
You know, all that's happened, as Alf Cannon said earlier today, all that's happened is we made money on the shares. If you look at the accounts that were published today, £8 million was written off the fund for the media development fund. So that hasn't been a great success, firstly, on that level. And secondly, you can't really see the evidence of the film industry and the local economy now, and everything's about benefiting local people. So no, but I don't look back and stare. What I would say is we've got to make sure that the Enterprise Development Fund doesn't make the same mistakes as the Media Development Fund. It has to be focused on providing income for local people, both in terms of companies and also people working in the sector.
What do you make of the fact that over 75s are going to no longer be entitled to free television licences later this year? Treasury says that the cost to the taxpayer can no longer be justified. They're talking about a £700,000 bill. Do you reach those figures that Treasury does?
I don't quite reach those figures, and even if I did, but they'll probably turn out when we investigate that they're accurate, because Treasury civil servants are good civil servants.
But is that fair for people who of all their life have contributed?
It's not even fair. In one sense, it seems mean-spirited. And, you know, a lot of means testing is mean-spirited, and a lot of means testing ends up being pro-bureaucracy and pro-big government, because each time you introduce a means test, you have to have a new computer system and you have to have new people working in government making assessments between different people. And it comes across to the outside world as mean-spirited, because people get the reputation for cheating, and this person gets it and that person doesn't get it. So my general principle is it's best to provide what the state should be providing universally to everybody. And means testing only very rarely. And means testing shouldn't only be about rebates for poorer people. I was involved with the introduction of a means testing system whereby people in sheltered housing, if they need to be in the sheltered housing, if they need the physical aspects of it and the social aspects of it, but they're richer than average, they can actually pay to be in there. And that we've got to be more forward thinking and clever thinking about how we think about means testing. At the minute, we can't introduce too much because we don't actually know how much income there is in each household. It's not really, that's a very simple thing. But if we do solve that problem statistically, has it been worth it? And so I restate, my main point is we need to be universal in our provision, only providing what we should be providing as a state.
Are you going to try and do anything about this issue, the over 75s TV licences?
There are so many important issues on the Tim Ward order paper. I might not speak on every single one. This is a relatively important issue, but for me, it's the most important one. It goes back to what I said in my budget. I upset Mr. Bell in my budget speech because I said the current government was becoming to be seen to be unpleasant and complacent, and this is the sort of thing, like the dependability contract, which to me puts in the character of being an unpleasant government. A mean-spirited government, and that's not the right way.
I'm looking at your rosette here, the trademark purple and orange from 2013, Policies for Our Community, it says. So why should the people of the new Douglas Central community vote for you in September?
Well, I've always tried my best for the local community, both in terms of representing local interests, but just as importantly, if not more importantly, trying to use my judgment, apply my pledge, which was to use my financial skills, my local knowledge, my international experience to work diligently in the national interest of all the people in the community. And unusually, back in 2013, I put together a 7-year plan, which I called my Orange and Purple Manifesto.
2020 again, isn't it?
And that's still my plan. I looked through it, and anybody out there who wants to receive a copy of my manifesto by post, please just ask me and I'll send them, because I've got a few left, or it's all available on the internet. I'll be relaunching my web page alongside my Facebook account soon. I'm looking forward to meeting as many people as possible in their front rooms or on their doorsteps, and I really hope that people of Douglas Central will join those of West Douglas, and I'll continue to have the confidence of the Douglas community to represent their interests and all those of the Isle of Man as well.
MHK and Douglas Central candidate Chris Thomas, thank you for your time this evening.
Thank you, James.
Good evening.
Keep up to date with the latest House of Keys General Election 2016 coverage on manxradio.com.